from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Berrettini lost one into right field. Playable. Tyler O'Neill is there, and he puts it away. The Boston Red Sox have won the middle game of the series, defeating the Astros for the first time this year. That snaps a 7-game winning streak for Houston against the Red Sox, dating back to last season. Astros, with a loss tonight, have still won 11 of their last 13 games. Tough one tonight.
Just want to be clear, that was not anybody in the booth cheering the outcome of that game.
Loud clapping. Yeah. That was some annoying Bostonian.
Right.
Or just Red Sox fan.
Right.
Might as well be a Bostonian at heart.
Whoever it was, they were an annoying person.
Somebody on a 99-degree day in Houston wearing a sleeveless fleece.
Yeah. It was funny, the other night when they won on the Yiner Diaz walk-off, and they're showing like a wide shot of the crowd.
Yeah.
And Callis is doing the thing that you do when they're showing a shot of the home crowd after a win. He recites what the attendance was and said, Yiner Diaz sending 40,751 home happy. And Amy and I are watching, I'm like, not that guy, not that guy or that guy or that guy. Because the Red Sox travel pretty good.
Yeah,
the Red Sox are one of those teams that has fans everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as it used to be. Man, I remember when I first moved back here in 2007 and going to Minute Maid Park. And that was when the Astros were kind of starting on the downturn from the Clemens and Pettit years. And boy, Red Sox fans would invade that mofo in 2008 because they won the World Series in 2007. So it was peak Red Sox.
Yeah.
It was wild, man.
For people on the YouTube stream. That was
Yeah. I look like I got electroshocked. Yeah. So Astros lose last night. No biggie because the Seattle Mariners, that's all they do is lose.
Yeah. They're peeing down their leg in a big, big way.
Big
we should have added them to that segment yesterday when we did
leg
peeing down the leg peeing
we
segment. We could do that. I was talking about what I was peeing down my leg about.
Right.
We could do one where we talk about where other people or teams are peeing down their legs.
Yeah, various uncontrollable urinators.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adult diaper wearers.
Yes.
No offense to anybody that has them, but as a sports team, that's not where you want to be ideally.
No.
You know? Typically, when you're wearing an adult diaper, you're not in the prime of your life.
We'll get back to the Astros in a second. Craziest use of an adult diaper? Not craziest, but
the people.
I have a good friend who's in broadcasting who oftentimes has to broadcast 3-, 4-, 5-hour pay-per-views.
Uh-huh.
He's older.
Yeah.
With WWE for a while.
Yeah.
People can put the pieces together.
Yeah.
He throws a Depends on. Yeah.
Goes for it.
Dark pants and Depends.
I was thinking about it when I walked past the adult diaper models that they use on the packages. I feel they're almost, they usually use kind of like a plus size male model.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I could maybe get a slide into that gig at some point.
You think?
Male model. I think right now I might be at the right age too, where I look like an adult, but I'm not, I don't look old yet.
Dude.
Where they might be like, I feel like a lot of guys that might be in the market for the first time for an adult diaper would be like, yeah, that guy's like me.
You could make it sexy, man.
I don't want to make it sexy. I'm trying to appeal to like the average man that's looking for it, you know. Now, if it is sexy,
I don't know, you look
too,
pretty good, man.
Probably
like you
want to
a lot
appeal to both people, whichever they swing. So I don't look like I'm overtly, but yeah.
Right. Good, and then we could get a sponsor for the leg peeing
male
segment.
Diaper model Seth Payne.
Mm-hmm. Hey Ben. Big
put it in the Google Doc of business ideas.
Big book
ideas.
Of possible sponsorships for Seth.
We need to disrupt that industry. I bet there's like some old brick and mortar You know, like, you know, how about some, you know what I would do? Like, what they do with underoos. Except we would do it all from stuff from our childhood. I'd have like, or our, like, when we came of age, I'd have like Seinfeld and Welcome Back Cotter, underoo, male diapers.
Right, right.
Yes.
That'd be great.
This is what we need to
Cheers.
Do.
Yeah.
Right.
Friends.
And for the ladies, we could do Judy Blume stuff and everything, you know?
Sopranos.
Yeah.
Adult diapers.
Would I have Uncle Junior or Tony Soprano on it?
Have either one. You can have multiple characters.
Nobody wants to be Uncle Junior. They want to be Tony Soprano.
Some people might, you know, but we can have multiple characters. Underoos didn't have all the superheroes on them. You could be Superman.
I got to go up and snatch exclusive licensing deals because nobody else is going for that right now.
Take the rest of the show off. You better do this now because someone's going to steal this idea. All right. So back to the Astros. Rennell Blanco concern level on the Seth C. Painometer right now. What's your concern
I'm
level?
I'm not as concerned as you are.
I'm concerned about
You're
Rennell
Blanco. You're peeing down your leg about Rennell Blanco.
I am a little bit. I'm concerned about Blanco, but I'm not concerned about the impact of it until I see what Verlander is.
Okay,
you know?
So here's the difference. So we talked about earlier, since June 3rd, Pro Baseball Reference hadn't updated it from last night's game yet, but he was at, like, going into last night's game, he was a 3.8 ERA since July 1st.
Okay.
So
well, that's gone up.
It's gone up, so he might be around 4, but he's been an average pitcher. Right. So, like, average MLB starting pitcher is about a 4.0 ERA.
Yeah.
We don't realize that in Houston because we've been so spoiled. We look at a 4.0 ERA like you should be out modeling male diapers. But that's also been, as I think he's just been struggling with some fatigue or wear and tear of pitching more innings than he's ever pitched before. I do feel like he can reclaim that now that they'll be in a steady six pitcher rotation.
Yeah.
More than anything, I just want to see him go deeper into games.
Yeah.
He's had too many 4-inning appearances.
And I think that's where you and I differ a little bit, is I'm just not as optimistic as you are that this 6-man rotation is going to be the exact elixir that he needs.
Right, because they have been able to give him some extra off days over this last stretch, too. So it's not, but it, I mean, and we saw a bump. You know?
No, I'm not sitting here saying that he's trash all of a sudden.
During the commercial breaks, you are.
That's not true.
You
don't dime me out like that, Tua. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So it's not that I think he's hot garbage or anything like that, but we're now back in the world we're used to being in, which is the Astros are probably going to win the division. They're going to compete to at least get a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But if they don't, this becomes especially critical. Yeah, is what he's doing good enough to have a job in the major leagues for an average Major League Baseball team? Sure. Is it good enough to throw out there in October when you're trying to beat good teams and win a 5 or a 7 game or a 3 game series if you're in the wild card? He wouldn't pitch in the wild card round. I'm pretty confident of that.
Not as it is right now.
It'd be Fromber, Hunter Brown, and then if Verlander's healthy, it'd be him.
Right. But, I mean, we would have said the same thing about Hunter Brown not too long ago. He's definitely not a top three guy.
That, I'm acting like, it is a 3 game series. It's best 2 out of 3. So if you got to pitch those 3 guys, if you're in a wild card round, Rennell Blanco enters the chat. You know, like, he's going to pitch probably in the next round of the playoffs.
So I guess I'm not peeing down my leg about him just yet. I feel
I have little drips coming out. It's not a steady stream.
Right.
Very graphic.
Kikuchi's the guy that I'm not allowing myself to get super excited about. Partly it's because they're facing the Red Sox, and this is where I hated that I read this article in The Athletic about the demise of the Red Sox pitching this year, where they were off on a tear. They were like top 2 in every statistical category for the first part of the season, and now they've fallen off a cliff. Now their pitching is atrocious. One of the things that they did was they had their pitchers stop throwing as many fastballs, because the analytics bros, I think probably like the Astros all started throwing more change-ups. I think they started to realize teams were just really getting good at getting better at hitting fastballs.
Yeah.
So they kind of ambushed the league with how few fastballs they were throwing. The league caught up and figured it out, and now they're more ready for what they're seeing. So with Kikuchi, where they changed up his pitch selection a little bit, and we've seen immediate results, I just want to wait and see, like, if it endures and stands the test of time.
That's fair.
And I'd like to see him go at least. Just give me 1/3 of an inning extra. Just get to blessed number six, please.
Get to 6 next time. Get to 6. All right, so afternoon game today, Verlander on the mound. As regular season games go, this one is highly intriguing today. Verlander hasn't pitched since June 9th. And so we're 2.5 months with November. Man, credit the pitching, the coaching staff with these pitchers. Give him a lot of credit. Give a spot of credit for the way he's kind of juggled this staff and managed this whole thing.
Send him a package of Seth Payne brand underoos.
Yes.
We have Wade Boggs edition. That'll be something like, well, I guess Wade Boggs wouldn't be a good one. Right. I'll do a Nolan Ryan. I'll talk to him about it.
There you go.
I'll go through Reed. I don't want to. Nolan might get offended if I say, but like, I'll be Reed, you know, you
float it to Reed.
You put Nolan Ryan on a package of adult diapers, those things will be flying off the shelves. Not just like the illegal variety that happens so much at drugstores these days, but people will be paying for them.
Paying for them. Yeah.
They're going to have to start putting the adult diapers under lock and key.
Like the razors?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think you'd have people in their 20s and 30s buying it that don't even have problems with that kind of thing if you put Nolan Ryan on that bad boy.
So, yeah, so but the pitching staff deserves a lot of credit, both the coaches and the analytics staff. So the fact that they've been able to, and a spot or two just for the overall team, being able to manage through so many injuries.
Yep.
But I, like, I'm irrationally confident in Spencer Arrighetti, who's also going to be going over his max here very shortly.
He's had like five good starts in a row, so like I'm enthusiastic about him. But like throwing him out there in October is a little different.
I think he's going to go through his career high innings in his next start, as long as it's a quality start.
Yeah, it's gotten better as the year's gone on for sure.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, and I think with Arrighetti, the same way it was with Hunter Brown just did it earlier. Arrighetti, you can see the growth and maturation. Mm-hmm. You can see them start to. You can almost read it on their faces that as they made that transition and it being more of a genuinely professional major league pitcher. So there's that.
I have zero concern about Hunter Brown right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a big enough body of work where I feel like, okay, this is who he is at this point now. And some of it with him has to do with, like, his stuff is just so electric. You know, like, he's built for this. Like, he's physically, literally built for this. And I think people forget, he threw almost 160 innings last year.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got a year
under
his belt.
He's on pace to throw more, but not by an alarming degree or anything.
He got to break through at some point.
No, and that's where, I mean, it's like, but it's a more manageable feel.
Yes.
Where with Blanco, it's a huge difference in comparison to how much he's been used as a starting
pitcher. It's uncharted territory for him.
Yeah. I think with Verlander, if you look at his minor league start, they had hoped to get him 75 pitches. He only ended up pitching 57. But it didn't look like he needed to stop. I think it was the people speculated it was just because he had a really long wait between the first and second inning. But I wonder if maybe now the pitch count is going to be the same because he hasn't gotten up there yet. That it's probably a 75 pitch count.
He needs to be efficient today. That's the biggest thing. I would almost rather.
Blanco last night. He pitched so many pitches.
Blanco kind of screwed him last night because you got Blanco last night who didn't go four innings. Through 84 pitches, and then you've got Verlander today, who's, like, if you get five innings out of Verlander, I would sign up for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Five innings out of Verlander, because I don't think he goes over 75 pitches today.
Mm-hmm.
It would be my guess. Text message, Sean, Blanco makes me dribble. Yeah, that's probably about where I am on that scale. Someone says I would be the perfect model for Depends, and I don't think that's a compliment.
I feel like why? It's a... I do think when I look at these Depends or various other undergarments, male models that they use, I do think that maybe they need to shoot a little bit higher. I feel like they're going for we want a guy that's relatable to the people they're buying. Just go ahead and start using like the super skinny freaks. Use these like 22-year-old male models or whatever, and like it making the blue steel face. Just do that.
You have taken a much closer look at the packaging on male. Adult undergarments.
This is the torture of having my brain is that I can't, my brain and the way it operates, it's...
Grocery shopping with you, I feel like, would be a lot of fun.
I'd say I get a lot of texts from my wife when I'm shopping that are like, are you okay?
Where are you?
I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. She's like, you've been at Walmart for 90 minutes.
Where do you get, where do you get...
Everywhere is the answer. I get hung up?
Yes.
Everywhere. I get hung up at the outdoors section, even though I didn't have to take a path through the outdoors. Do you know how long it takes to plan a camping trip that I'm not actually taking, Sean? I'm sitting there, I'm calculating the weight of my pack. And I'm like, oh, what? I'm being soft. I don't need a camp stove. Like, but it would be nice.
And then you go out to your car and you just close your eyes for 30 minutes and imagine the camping trip would have been on.
No, it's not that I'm like fantasizing about it or anything. I'm actually planning for it. I'm like actually just making decisions that are hard decisions, Brandy.
Yeah.
Brandy, these are not easy decisions.
Right.
The weight of your pack affects the enjoyment you get on that trip by a large degree. And God forbid a snowstorm blows through. Like, you don't want to be underprepared, but you also got to have energy to pack out.
I love that.
Yeah.
Dude, Walmart.
It's a labor, man.
Walmart's a freaking labor. That's a rough place to go if you're easily distracted, man.
Yeah.
They got everything in there.
I know. I don't impulse purchase or anything.
That was my next question. Like, well, okay, what percentage of stuff that you stop and fantasize and look at?
I'm on Consumer Reports in Walmart way too much. I really am. I'm like, well, yeah, this is, of course, a better. Why are these priced so differently? Oh this is an outrage.
That's great. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Texans back at practice in about 45 minutes. So we got to hustle out there today, my friend.
We'll be fine. What are we going to find? run through the cones, Sean.
Nobody wants to see that.
The first thing I did when I retired from football, I stopped running through cones.
Yeah, did you throw your cones out?
I pull up short.
What's that? You used to bring cones with you on the road.
Well, yeah, I use cones for mental drills when I'm walking through.
Get ready for the show. Get ready to go on YouTube.
I still have the drills for it. No, I don't run at all anymore just because of
knees.
I'm thinking about with these Hokas. I feel almost like I might be able to jog a little bit.
Don't push yourself, man. Whatever you're doing is working. Don't do something that's going to...
I feel like there's something, though, about actually... Well, like, I walk a lot.
Yeah.
But there's something about running that just clicks something in your body. Your body was meant to run. And there is something, like, I don't know, metabolically or whatever else. It's just different than any kind of... I could do the exact same heart rate on an elliptical machine or a stationary bike, and it just doesn't feel like your body responds to it the same way as like doing that exact same heart rate and everything else when running.
Yep.
The endorphins aren't... that's what it probably is. I think your body naturally releases the endorphins when you're running.
Dude, I don't get runners, man. And my daughter is one. She coaches running.
The biggest thing, if you're somebody that's trying to run and you just feel like, oh, I'm not a runner, the problem is don't think of yourself as somebody who needs to run well.
Yeah.
It's whatever... Like, when your daughter is running at a 5-mile... a 5-minute mile clip.
Yeah.
Like, for most people, that's probably like an 11-minute mile in terms of exertion level and
that's
everything.
That's true.
And if you want to get that feel, that good feel, just run it whatever where it actually feels enjoyable.
Where it feels enjoyable, but you feel like you're getting some exercise.
If you have to walk a good amount, then no big deal. Just go on.
Trust me. I have to walk a good amount. All right. I watched the highlight reel of 2022 Dameon Pierce yesterday. It got me sad thinking about this coming Saturday. I will explain coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so I saw a highlight reel of Damian Pierce from 2022 yesterday, and it's been, you know, it's been a while since we've seen that Damian Pierce. It's crazy to go back and watch just how impactful, physical,
yeah,
how explosive he was back then.
Yeah.
Like, it's like watching a different human being.
No, it 100% is. And I think more and more people are kind of catching on to my philosophy on of it. And you know, we talked about this all off season, is that I think part of it might just be as simple as he needs to be back at the body weight he was when he was playing like that. Because look, it's great to experiment with your body weight a little bit, maybe be a sleeker athlete and all that. But it feels like Damian Pierce has gotten to a point now where it's like a quarterback who's lost arm strength but doesn't want to let go of it. But then they start to lose their confidence when they realize they don't have their arm strength. With Damian, he doesn't break tackles anymore. And now it's almost like he knows that he can't break tackles, and it's created a hesitancy in how he runs. But he lost all that weight, and he lost his superpower in losing that weight, but without gaining enough on the speed side to be a fast NFL running back.
That's right.
So you're just trying to be something that you're not, you know? And I don't know if this is something that you can fix in the next month or so, where you don't want to tell a guy, hey, go gain 15 pounds, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah,
there's some muscle memory to it and everything. And he was like, he wasn't as lean then as he is. So he could gain some fat and it might be all right. Some guys just are better big backs. You know, at any position in football, you got to find your ideal playing weight, and this is not working for him.
He looks like he's not working for him at all. He looks like he came back even slimmer this year than he came back last year.
Right, I know. I was kind of surprised that people were making a big deal about him losing weight this year without mentioning that, yeah, he lost weight last year too, remember?
Yeah.
And it hasn't been so hot.
He didn't like this.
Right. Just get back to what was working. Be like a pitcher that goes back and watches old film. Verlander talks about this all the time. You go back and watch film from a time when it was working. What's different?
Yeah.
Oh, I was 15 pounds heavier, or whatever it is with Damian.
Yep. What do you think the most likely scenario is for this weekend with Damian? That he sits on Saturday like he's a made guy.
Yeah.
Because he's been treated like a made guy this whole training camp. He didn't play in the Hall of Fame game. He's getting all the number one reps when Mixon is out. We're going to play a cut from D'Amico here or two in a second that are indicative of a guy who sees Damian Pierce as a lock to make this team. Do you see him sitting on Saturday, playing on Saturday and making the team, or playing on Saturday and being either cut or traded?
I think, and honestly, if part of what's leading to his bad decision making and everything is some kind of a knowledge that he's not breaking tackles the way he used to, I don't think that's fixed on Saturday. So if he plays, I think there's a chance he doesn't make the team.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to see that click that they're hoping for or waiting for. Now, if he plays and doesn't play well, maybe they'll have that conversation. Maybe they have, like, I'm guessing that they've talked and thought about this, about his body weight.
Yeah.
You know, because it really is. Sometimes things are so basic. I don't know, though. Nobody thought to tell Hunter Brown to throw a sinker. until Alex Bregman did.
Bregman,
you know, so
them,
maybe
yeah.
they haven't thought about
maybe.
It. But it's as simple as this. Go back to what he was doing when it was working on a worse football Dang. Team. And one of the biggest and most glaring things was it was a different body weight. So maybe he plays, and then that's where they realize, or he realizes, all right, well, this clearly isn't working. I got to get back to whatever my body weight was my rookie year. And maybe they'll see if that's going to work out, and they'll give him spot duty in games to see if it's working. But it's, I'm not optimistic that he's going to go out there and do anything different, because, and this is where it gets tough, and people want to make it an either or thing. I was not happy with the run blocking at all. I was not happy with it one bit. Going back and watching it each time, I'm like, they're making. How are all these linebackers unblocked? How are there this many mental errors? Why do we have four guys trying to block two guys with two guys running free? It was bad. But even in all of that, Damian wasn't making the best decisions or taking the best route. And he's not, and he continues to not break tackles.
Here, so you think he plays on Saturday?
I do think he plays, yeah. And I'm not optimistic about it. Maybe I hope to be proven dramatically wrong, but
I do too.
If they don't play him at all, then I'll be. If he doesn't play at all and then he makes the team, I'm going to be disappointed in the Texans.
I think
they're going to make the same mistake they made at the beginning of last year. Like, frankly, they're Jose Abreu-ing it if they do
yeah.
that. They're just not. They're not acknowledging what they're seeing with their very eyes.
We've had people make that comparison. That's yeah. a good comparison. Here was D'Amico Ryans. This was during the spring program. This is during either OTAs or minicamp about Damian Pierce being a 1-2 punch with Joe Mixon.
I see Damian having a very clear headspace as we're out working, and I think that will allow him to have a really productive year this year. And he has he has everything it takes, right, to be a really good running back for us, and I think having him and Joe as a 1-2 punch would be very beneficial for us all.
Okay, so 1-2 punch. So that was back in the spring. This is from, this cut you're about to hear is from 2 weeks ago when they were in Ohio and Steve Weich and Brian Baldinger were at practice with the Texans, and they sat down with D'Amico Ryans, and Baldinger was kind of gushing about how Damian looked in practice, and here was D'Amico's reaction to that.
Damian has done a great job since the spring. I just see a guy who has a clear mind,
yep.
fast feet. He's playing decisive, right? I mean, he's explosive. So you're back to seeing that rookie Damian who can gain a lot of yards for us, and he has a physical mindset to him that I yeah. really love. Love how he finishes the runs. I'm excited to see him, you know, play on Friday to see, so everyone can see, right?
Right.
This new/old Damian, how he was his rookie year.
What have I told you over and over again about training camp? It lies. Like, training camp practice, it lies all the time. Particularly, it favors speed and things like that, but you completely remove the genuinely physical element of it. So, Damian Pierce's calling card, the physicality and all of that. And looking back on it now, I feel kind of dumb for not seeing this and thinking about it or realizing at the time. Even when they were in, you know, pads but not tackling, Damian was on the ground a lot.
Yeah.
He'd get somebody to lay a shoulder into him and he'd be on the ground. And so when you add the actual genuinely physical element of it, because I was in that same boat. I thought Damian looked really good, but training camp lies. And we all get, and it's one of the biggest blind spots you have when you're watching training camp practices, is that even as you're consciously telling yourself, yeah, but this isn't for real, it's hard not to notice the positive things.
Yeah.
But Damian's calling card is breaking tackles, and he just has not demonstrated any ability to do it, and it's come to light in actual tackle football, I think.
Yeah. This, to me, is the most fascinating thing about Saturday's game. There's not a lot that's fascinating about the last preseason game other than the positional battles for spots 45 through 53 in the practice squad, and those are fun, especially on a team like this, because there's good players on this team that aren't going to make the team. Like, yeah. It's really intriguing. This is the most intriguing thing right now. Is Damian Pierce going to play? And I'm with you. If he doesn't play, then, boy, is he getting a pass.
Well, yeah.
B, if he does play, like, is this the last we've seen of Damian Pierce as a Texan?
It's the second year in a row that they would have gone into the season. They did this last year. They clung on to it. Remember, it was relatively early in the season. I told you Devin Singletary is going to be the main running back on this team.
You did.
And they continued to just make Damian the guy. You can't do that 2 years in a row. You can't go into the season thinking, this is the one part where, again, And this is not like a criticism of them in how they do their jobs in total, but every person, no matter how smart they are, have blind spots. They all do. And in a good football organization, hopefully you have a GM and a head coach where they can see each other's blind spots and they kind of cover for each other that way. And if Danian goes in and he's the backup running back, I think this is a situation where both D'Amico and Nick might have a blind spot for Damian.
Yeah.
And there needs to be somebody else in the organization that's like, hey, listen, guys, we got to see this for what it is right now.
Well, here's the other thing, and I think you'll agree with me on this one because you and I were sitting next to each other and both pointed this out and said, ooh, when we were in the press box. The one rationalization you could have in keeping Damian Pierce on the roster would be kick return. The one time he returned a kick on Saturday, he paused and stopped when he got to all the bodies there.
He looked like David. He looked like Daniel Jones going into that slide.
Yeah,
where he didn't know whether to slide or throw his shoulder or whatever.
So he
just kind of limped into it.
Yeah, he just slowed down. Yeah. And the other thing about the kick returning too, if this is what the kick return is going to be this year, this new format, I don't know that Damian's style is conducive to this. Damian even said last year when he was on the postgame show with me and Clint after the Cleveland game where he returned that kick 100 yards for a touchdown, he said, I like this because the kickoff feels a lot more like the style of running that I'm good at where you just, man, there's a hole, just north-south, boom, go. This is a lot more like... This is closer to like a zone blocking thing going on there.
And that's the other thing where he's had a path blocked for him, like in the game the other night. It's the one shotgun run they had down in the red zone. It wasn't a beautiful hole. Like Kenyon Green didn't do a great job of kicking out the defensive end. The defensive end was able to kind of two gap him on it, but there was a hole there, and he didn't hit it. Damian tried to bounce it out, and again, I think Cam Akers might have been able to bounce it out. Other running backs could have. But Damian's not fast enough to bounce that out. He's got to hit the hole there. When they were backed up on the goal line, there was some really bad blocking on that play. And yet, he also didn't take the right. If he'd hit it hard, he had a lane. He could have gotten positive yardage out of that play. But the reason that Blake Fisher whiffed and the fullback both whiffed, those guys were able to make contact. Well, Blake Fisher's guy was able to make contact right at the goal line because Damian just wasn't hitting it as hard as he could have.
Yep.
So it was bad blocking, yes, but where he should have really been hitting it and where there was a clear path, he wasn't doing it with the ferocity that he should have.
Seth talking about getting distracted in Walmart. This is a text message. And his wife texting him, what's taking so long? Most relatable segment on sports radio.
To be clear, she'll usually text, are you okay?
Yeah.
She's not nagging me. I think she's genuinely concerned
about
if I'm okay.
You.
Yeah.
Wheatstraw brings up a good recommendation here. Order curbside at Walmart. It'll keep you from getting distracted. You might enjoy it.
It's like sometimes I just got to go into the store.
Yeah.
I like going to, if I've got a, usually what I do is I show up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I go to a big box store,
then there's nobody there.
Yeah. Oh. Well, except you got to compete with those the actual shoppers for the curbside. And they're good at picking out the strawberries.
Take all the good ones.
So I do all my shopping. I try to do it in one fell swoop. Whichever store I have to go to, I do it like at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning. If I'm going to HEB, 6 a.m. Well, they don't open till 7, I think, but whatever.
Earliest you can get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, when I was talking about being a Depends model.
Yeah.
I don't know why Brandy would text this. This is making money for the family. OMG, Depends model, what the hell is wrong with you?
She's
laughing,
the best.
Crying emoji.
She's the best.
Yeah.
Clearly. I mean, she's awesome, but clearly she's not into money.
Apparently she's ashamed of her Depends model husband.
Something Brandy doesn't like. So, capitalism.
Sorry if you can't brag about that to your friends.
No kidding.
It's paying for the lunch. Yeah.
That would be great. She's the Depends queen. That's it, man.
She just started conspicuously working it into conversations because she was so proud of
the first lady of Depends.
Like asking for help at the drugstore when she doesn't even know. She'd be like, "Oh, I got distracted because I didn't realize it was right there. I was looking to say that's my husband.
That's my husband.
yes. So imagine that.
All right. Wide receiver drama in the NFL. Man, Justin Jefferson's contract is killing these teams. We got updates on the three big wide receiver soap operas going on right now. We will update you on that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Ja'Marr Chase. Those are the three big wide receiver soap operas going on right now. Credit the Minnesota Vikings for dropping $35 million a year on Justin Jefferson. Deservedly so. It's $3 million more than any other receiver is getting. I think he deserves it. I think he's the best receiver in football. The problem now for these other teams is that CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, and Ja'Marr Chase all think that they're the best receiver
in
football.
Yeah, it's the one position group that's the most intriguing in terms of...
There's 15 guys that think they're the best.
Of all of the positions in football, man, which one has the most guys that think they're the absolute best?
I don't even know that it's close.
Yeah, I don't... you're right. I don't think that the number of guys who think they're the best at that position... Probably wide receiver,
yeah.
It's the easiest one, though, too, because there's the wide receiver, and I think why they get so diva-ish sometimes is that they rely on so many external factors for production.
They can just...
Got to have the right quarterback, got to have other good receivers next to you and everything.
Yeah.
So I don't want to call an excuse, they can have an explanation in their mind for why their production isn't the same as Justin Jefferson's or what have you. So, yeah. Once Justin Jefferson signs that deal... I think, every GM with a wide receiver that's got to get paid is like, oh, crap, my guy thinks he's better than him.
Dude.
Oh,
and
boy.
That Nico Collins is probably not in that group of 12 or 15 that thinks it. He may think it, but he doesn't express it.
He's kind of different. He's confident, but he seems like he's got a very low-key personality in a lot of ways. Yeah,
good way to put it. All right, so let's start with CeeDee Lamb. This is a couple days ago. Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network gives an update on the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb and where they're at.
You've seen the reported numbers that are out there, about 33. I've seen higher than 33. I've seen lower than 33. My understanding is it's around 33, and for Lamb, that's still not good enough. The top of the market is 35 with Justin Jefferson, so he wants that to come up. And the structure, I am told via sources familiar with Lamb's thinking, needs to be worked on as well. Cash flow, guarantees, how that's going to be structured on the front half of the deal. So there's still a lot of work to be done here. And Lamb is represented by Torrey Dandy, an agent who knows this wide receiver market because he helped set the wide receiver. I mean, he's got a ton of receivers that he's done deals for over the last year, including A.J. Brown, who is right there below that tier that the Cowboys are trying to offer right now.
The thing about this, and I think some people might be wondering, like, why are people so worked up about this? There's two reasons. One is that it's the Dallas Cowboys, so there's that. Drama with the Cowboys is always a big headline grabber. People writing the stories get all kinds of clicks.
And it's not just Lamb with the Cowboys, too. They have Prescott and Micah, too. It's a lot of stuff.
The legitimate thing is that it's not just that it's the Cowboys. It's that the owner in Jerry Jones now has a long history of just letting things fester and not getting ahead of things. Like, they knew that the cap, back when the cap first expanded, a lot of teams realized, okay, we got to reset our expectations for what these deals are going to be because there's a lot more money to go around. There's one of the biggest salary cap jumps in free agency history.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, but I don't think that Cowboys fans or anybody else expects Jerry Jones to navigate his way through these three contracts with any kind of alacrity. He's going to sit on this thing and let it sit and sit, and it's going to take forever, the same way his paternity suits do. They just go on and on and on and on. And it ends up like part of it. It's hilarious because Jerry Jones is crying about like, well, yeah, but, you know, and then we have to pay the quarterback, and then there's only so much you can do. Right. One of the reasons you're in the situation you're in is because the last time that you did with the quarterback, you waited to sign him.
So you ended up having
a huge deal with him. Yeah. Right. Like, you've already been through this before.
Well, and you give up your leverage because you took out your ability to use the franchise tag on the quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's little things like that. Not even little things. That's a big thing. So that's Lamb. And for what it's worth, the latest update was yesterday. 17 hours ago, Jerry Jones, they're having promising talks right now with CeeDee Lamb. It sounds like they've kind of agreed to what the annual value is, but like the structure of the deal is what they're kind of hemming and hawing about now. So, but still no deal done yet. And there's some of us who have fantasy drafts tonight, by the way.
And yet the Cowboys continue to be a very competitive regular season team.
And they will be this year, too.
They will be. Yeah. I just, you wonder if Dak Prescott's getting to the point where
I'd play it out if I were Dak.
Does Dak Prescott just think, like, all right, there's just something systemically wrong with this team?
Yeah.
If they would just let Will McClay, their director of pro personnel, be the GM, it would probably... I think he's the big reason that they're as good as they are, because they draft really well.
Super well.
But then they've got a guy in Jerry Jones that wants to make all of that as difficult as possible.
Yep.
Like managing that really good roster.
Yep, yep. All right, let's get to Brandon Ayuk. So we got CeeDee Lamb. They're in a holding pattern right now, getting closer. Brandon Ayuk, how things going with him, Shefty?
I think we're at the point now where we're going to start to get a push here to see how this winds up, how it's resolved. And I think the 49ers would like to keep him, want to keep him. I still think that's the more likely scenario, but to think that there's any likely scenario in this particular situation would be a mistake, because there was a time when I thought, okay, it sounds like he's going to be traded to Cleveland. And then there was a time where I thought, well, it sounds like he's going to be traded to New England. And then there was a time I thought, okay, he's going to be traded to Pittsburgh. And then I thought there was a time he's re-signing with San Francisco. And here we are on, what is it,
20th.
Tuesday, August 20th, and nothing is still done. Nothing. And I just think that everybody is at the point where they know they need to get resolution, whatever that is.
Okay, that was a nothing report, by the way. I could have given that report.
Well, I mean, there were people... Remember the one radio host up in Pittsburgh just flat out said, like, no, it's happening. The deal's done.
Filippone. It was, he was part of that Syracuse mafia.
Yeah, yeah. The old Syracuse, the highfalutin Syracuse communications.
He said
school.
The wide receiver is coming to Pittsburgh,
right,
is what he said.
I get this. You know what this is starting to feel like, probably, for San Francisco fans? This is a loose comparison, but Royce White. Remember Royce White was kept clamoring for the protocol, all of that. And the Rockets were bending over backwards, trying to, like
adhere.
Okay, yes, please. We know that we have issues that you need to deal with, and we want to help get establish a protocol. But Royce White wasn't working with them. And meanwhile, everywhere else outside of Houston, people were painting the Rockets as the villains somehow. Like, well, they won't help him with this protocol. Like, no, they're trying like hell. I feel like the 49ers are like, we're trying to trade him. We've had offers and deals that we're ready to pull the trigger on, yeah, with the Steelers and whomever else, but Ayuk just isn't going along with any of this because he won't agree to deals with those other teams. That I don't know what the fan sentiment is like in San Francisco or not, but I feel like Ayuk's going to turn into a villain soon. Because it keeps feeling like, oh, okay, we're about to get this done. Let's be done with it. And then nothing.
He's the one guy of these three that's not going to get anywhere close to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Lamb's going to get $33 million a year. We're going to hear about Jamar Chase here in a second. Ayuk, it's like the Steelers topped out at $28 million, supposedly. The Niners, I don't think, are going past 30 for him. They got all kinds of guys they got to pay, including a quarterback next year.
Ayuk's got, in terms of the perception of him, he's got the opposite of problem of what we talked about earlier, where receivers will complain about how they don't have a good supporting cast, this, that, the other thing. Like, you're not going to claim that with the 49ers.
There's
conditions are perfect.
Whatever situation he goes to, yeah, is worse.
Honestly, that's where I would look at it. And maybe his agent has had these conversations with him. It's like, man, if you want to continue to just produce the way you've produced, you're not going to find a better situation than the San Francisco 49ers.
Amen, man.
So, like, however much ego is wrapped up into it and everything, man, it's like Ayuk's never seen the other side. Ayuk doesn't know how most offenses operate and just how, like, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but... Man, it's not so easy. It's not so easy to play good football on struggling teams.
No, no. I mean, he is in the most efficient offensive machine in football in San Francisco. All right, last one, Jamar Chase. Unlike Lamb and Ayuk, he's got 2 years left on his deal still. And he was holding in for a while, and now he's just been staying away from the Bengals, Jamar Chase. Here's the latest from Adam Schefter on Jamar Chase. This is from the Pat McAfee Show.
I think right now, this is the one that to me remains the most mysterious, because unlike Brandon Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase has 2 years left on his contract, not one, like those other players. And we've already heard the Bengals president, Mike Brown, come out and say that he would prefer to wait to do this deal. Now, I think Cincinnati still will push to get this deal done, but
From my understanding, there hasn't been a whole lot of progress. And if there's not a whole lot of progress, you wonder what's next. Now, Chad Ochocinco, the former Bengals great wide receiver, said over the weekend he thinks the two sides will figure out a deal this week. But he also added that if the two sides can't get a deal done, he does not believe that Ja'Marr Chase will step foot on a football field again until he has a new contract. And I think there are other people around the league who feel the same way about that particular situation that I think has flown a little bit under the radar.
The Chad Ochocinco part of that thing is what's strange to me, like that he's like some sort of advocate for Ja'Marr Chase. This would be like Andre Johnson getting involved in Nico Collins.
Right.
I talked to Andre Johnson, and he said if Nico doesn't get a deal, he probably won't be there for week one.
Like, I think, and you know, Chad still works out with a lot of those guys.
Right.
And
he's on Shannon Sharpe's podcast all the time. Yeah. Like, he's still out there.
Yeah, you know? He's still out there. The Ja'Marr Chase one is interesting because I do feel like there's something brewing in the NFL where this concept of the hold-in, where Ja'Marr Chase hasn't been practicing with the team. He's not holding out. He's there, but he's not practicing. The Bengals might be the team that actually tries to take a stand on this, and because they've never been afraid to be unpopular or to do the things that players hate before. And like, as a former player myself, I try to see the player side of things when it comes to holdouts and everything. There's something about faking an injury or just being at practice and not practicing that rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all. And withholding services in the regular season, but still trying to play. If you know what it is, if you're going to take the fine, then so be it. But showing up and not getting fined because I'm here, I'm available, but that's the part that I wonder if the Bengals might be the first one to really push back against.
Yeah.
That.
Do you think a lot of his teammates feel that way?
Probably not his teammates. No, I don't. Or current NFL players.
Yeah.
This is maybe the crotchety old man in me.
Yeah.
No, maybe teammates too. Because I think as a player, I would have felt that way. Like,
right,
all right, wait a second. All right, now you're not actually. You're here and you're not getting fined. You're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're gonna take your medicine and you're gonna actually negotiate
take
or whatever.
A stand.
But I feel like you're getting away with like trying to be a hard ass, but also not getting punished for it.
Yeah.
It's like you're pretending to smoke cigarettes.
At least, you know? Right? Just no inhaling going on.
Boy, that guy's a badass. Jamar's, and meanwhile, you're coughing behind him.
Ja'Marr's not even inhaling, I can tell. All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Man, a lot of flowers out there for the Texans. This one, I'm got to put through a filter, though. But I think this will excite you when you hear this. What did a national reporter see when she was at the Texans practices in Ohio? That is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.